This call is being recorded.
Good morning. Welcome to Declare Victory. Has anyone else joined the call this morning?
Good morning, Susie. It's Sister Veronica.
Good morning, Sister Veronica.
How are you today?
I'm doing okay, thank you. How about you?
I'm excited about being woke, being alive. I'm above dirt and not hurt.
That's right. Amen. Excuse me. I already got the allergies going on this morning.
Oh, yeah, allergy season.
I'm having them all year long since I moved to Stockton, so. Yeah.
Wow, that's horrible.
It is. Wish I was back in the Bay Area.
Yeah, yeah. Well, as long as you just kind of keep it under control.
Yeah, thank you. Have a great day. Has anyone else joined the call that would like to say good morning? Has anyone else joined the call this morning that would like to say good morning? Good morning. Welcome to Declare Victory. This is Susie, who just joined the call.
Good morning, Susie. It's Diane.
Good morning, Diane.
Good morning. Happy Thursday.
Happy Thursday to you, too.
But I'm mute.
Okay. Good morning. Welcome to Declare Victory. This is Susie, who just joined us. Well, welcome. Good morning. We're so glad that you joined us this morning.
Good morning, Susie. It's Deborah Evans.
Good morning, Deborah Evans.
Good morning.
Excuse me. Good morning. Welcome to Declare Victory. This is Susie. Has anyone else joined the call? Has anyone else joined the call that would like to say good morning? Has anyone else joined the call that would like to say good morning?
Yes, hi, good morning. This is Mona.
Good morning, Mona.
Hi.
Has anyone else joined the call that would like to say good morning? And who is that?
Good morning, Victory family. It's Pam. Happy Thursday. Love y'all.
Good morning, Pam. Happy Thursday to you and love you back. Can someone please place their phone on mute? I hear background noise. Happy Thursday, Yvonne. Good to hear your voice.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Has anyone else joined the call that would like to say good morning?
Good morning. This is Barbara out of Lodi.
Good Good morning, Barbara out of Lodi. This is Susie out of Stockton.
Hey, good morning. Have a blessed day, everybody.
You too. Anyone else like to say good morning?
Good morning, it's Renee.
Good morning, Renee. Anyone else like to say good morning? Good morning. Welcome to Declare Victory. Has anyone else joined the call? Anyone else join the call that would like to say good morning? Good morning. Welcome to Declare Victory. Has anyone else joined the call?
Good morning, it's Beverly.
Good morning, Beverly. Anyone else like to say good morning? Good morning. Welcome to Declare Victory. Has anyone else joined the call who would like to say good morning?
Good morning, it's Kenya.
Good morning, Kenya. Has anyone else joined the call or would like to say good morning? Well, everyone, before we move forward, we do ask that you please place your phone on mute so that we can proceed. And good morning again. My name is Susie, and I am your hostess. And thank you so much for joining us here on Declare Victory. We are a prayer call that meets Monday through Saturday, starting at 6 o'clock a.m. Can you guys hear me?
Yeah.
Okay, I was placed on mute, so just wanted to make sure. We are a prayer call that meets Monday through Saturday, starting at 6 o'clock a.m. Pacific time, to edify, empower, encourage, and equip you in your walk with Christ. Please feel free to invite a friend so they can be blessed too. Be sure to tune in daily in March as the teaching theme will be intentional growth. Higher, deeper, wider, stronger. You do not want to miss the teaching, lessons, and messages that the declarers are preparing as they hear from the Lord for his people. We do have one announcement this morning. Ladies, please join us tonight and every Thursday night for Walk It Out Women's Call, hosted by Ms. Lisa Porter. They are currently going through the book Fervent Prayer by Priscilla Shire, and it's not too late to join in. The call takes place from 6 to 7 p.m. Pacific time, right here by dialing the same number. You will be blessed. There were no prayer requests submitted via the app, but I do have a prayer request that I'm asking for my husband, Rick, as he goes in for an angiogram on his heart either this Sunday or Monday. So please keep him in your prayers. The declaration will be done by Moses, and praying in corporate praise will be done by Beverly. Then we go right into the closing comments hosted by the declarer Moses. And I'll repeat that. The declaration will be by Moses, and praying in corporate praise will be done by Beverly. Then we will go right into closing comments hosted by the declarer Moses. At this time, we do ask that you put your phones on mute until instructed to come off mute. Please do this every morning. I now pass the call to the declarer for today, Moses. God bless you all.
If you want to just thank you very much. So if I think we're still getting some background noise, some music. If you want to just check your phone, make sure you're on mute. Thank you very much.
Can someone please place their phone on mute?
No, don't do that. I got it. It's supposed to be on, Moses. Go ahead. We're on the radio. Amen.
Okay, awesome. Thanks. So I just wanted to thank Susie for greeting. We'll definitely be keeping your husband in prayer, and I know that Beverly is going to do such a great job later leading us in prayer and corporate worship and praise. And I just want to thank everybody for taking the time to call in today. And I wanted to just say, I think we have something really, a really special message today. I'm really excited. This is something that's very dear to my heart. This is something that's very real to me. I think today's message for me is, it's a big part of me that's on the paper right now, big part of me that's bled out. This has been very real for me. This has been something I've experienced, and it just really resonates with me. So this is a real big hardship for me today. But before we start getting into that, and I'm kind of going to go through an intro about what we're going to be talking about today, I want to just first and foremost, I want to open in prayer. Father, I worship you. I bring you all the glory, all the honor, and the praise, Lord, because we can set aside every single hurt, every single pain, every single stress, every single worry. We can lay it down as we come together, Lord, to talk about you, to listen, to learn, to hear from you today, Lord, to be sculpted, to be shaped, to be guided by you here today on this call, Lord. And that something powerful is going to be done within our hearts. So I pray for the guarding of those hearts, Lord, the guarding of our ears to hear words, to test what's good, Lord, and to receive from you. And I thank you for that, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. So today we're going to be continuing on with the series, the Intentional Growth, Higher, Deeper, Wider, Stronger. And today what I'm going to be talking about a little bit is a little bit more of the deeper. We're going to be talking about going deeper in the face of adversity, deeper in the face of suffering, and just deeper overall in the sense of pain that we experience in our life. And I wanted to break today's message into 3 points. And what we're going to talk about is how to go, you know, and translate these fights of our life, and how to take this fight for your life and how to turn it into a fight for others. And to just go deeper than the surface level and find the weapon in your attack. And I first started thinking about this. I was, you know, it's been a while since I've been on, and you know, we've just been so busy with the baby and a move, and we're in the process of planning to move, and Nicole's about 5 months pregnant. I think this week actually is 5 months, and we've been so busy, and I've had so much stuff going on in every way you can imagine, just so much pressure, so much pulls in every direction from work and family and friends and ministry. And it just feels like everything's happening sometimes at like a million miles an hour. And I had to step back sometimes And I had to just start translating some of what I went through, especially in preparation for today's message and tomorrow's message. And it's not going to be a part one and part two. Tomorrow I'm going to be talking about something entirely different. But in preparation for today's message, I started to go through some old notes. I started to go through some old, just some like journal stuff, some notes from the past, you know, years and years and years ago. And I was just curious to kind of dig in through the archives. So one of the things that I found that every 5 years I would update. I would take a part of my, I guess you could say a digital journal. And what I would do is that I would just every 5 years talk to myself from the past. Every 5 years, I would take a moment to go back and I would say, well, what would I say to myself 5 years ago from today? And this became something that I would do every 5 years, and it started back from the first point in maybe 2009, and then 5 years later in 2014, I made a letter to myself in 2009, and then so on and so forth. And this year happens to be a every 5 year point or milestone. And so I went to look back and read everything from 5 years and 5 years, and I just started to see trends. I started to see patterns. But I started to see that my perspective would shift in the way I would approach my problems, because I was no longer looking at things from the perspective of that moment, but from 5 years out. And what was the purpose of everything that I was going through in the greater picture of my life? And it helped me in my ability to approach problems in my life. It helped me to shift my thinking, to go deeper than what was just happening, and to really, really realize that there's some more important things at hand when you're going through a tough situation than just what appears at the surface. You know, there's so much more that God can use a situation to accomplish than what we can see in that moment. And it became very important for me. It became super important for me, right? It became super important for me to look at these situations not as just, oh man, this is so hard right now, this is such a stressful time, this is, you know, all the millions of things that we can feel in a moment with stress and anxiety and even fear and even just being tired. It's really refreshing to shift your perspective. We're going to be talking about the power of that, how to harness that. How do we harness the power and realizing that these situations are bigger than just this moment, and what does that look like? And I'm going to talk about how to go deeper than your pain and find a purpose in your situation that speaks louder to not just others, but even within your own life. So we're going to break this up into 3 points today. And we're going to be talking point one, we're going to be talking about the weapons formed against you. Point two, we're going to be talking me first. Why do we have a me first mentality whenever we encounter adversity? And then our closing point is called joy in the morning. And what is our focus shifted to help us change our mentality as we're going through adversity and pain and suffering and times of stress and just moments that really require us to step up to a new level? So, you know, it started out with me looking at, you know, these every 5 year situations, but it really transformed for me when I would go through tough times. And in the first point, you know, it's titled Weapons Formed Against You because there's this verse in Isaiah, it's chapter 54. And I know this verse so well. It's Isaiah 54:17. I know this verse so well because growing up, my mom would just literally burn this verse into the front of our brains. Like, it just every single time. Also, it's one of my favorite, probably my favorite all-time, you know, song, but it's probably my favorite Fred Hammond song. But Isaiah 54:17, and I can't even read this verse without hearing Fred Hammond in my head now. So I don't know. It went from hearing my mom in my head every time I read this verse to now I hear Fred Hammond. So now I hear some kind of hybrid version of my mom and Fred Hammond, if you've ever heard the two. So, and that verse is, no weapon formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue which rises against you in judgment, you shall condemn. This is my favorite part of the verse. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is from me. You know, it didn't make sense to me, not even from an overall biblical perspective or Old Testament versus New Testament, post-cross, pre-cross. It just didn't make sense to me, because my whole point is, you know, my thinking as a child was, okay, well, yeah, I get that. Every time something tough happens, my parents start praying and I hear them praying, and, you know, I hear my mom quoting this verse, and when I talk to my mom or I talk to somebody, and, hey, you know, man, don't worry about it. You know, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. And I'm like, okay. And like, I'll like kind of nod my head. But like deep down inside, I'm thinking, if no weapon formed against me shall prosper, why are these weapons even being formed in the first place? Like, why can't God just prevent the formation of these weapons in the first place? And I remember getting advice, even throughout my life, even adult life, getting this advice from a lot of friends, everybody, you know, from church friends, Declare Victory friends, Andrew, tons of folks that would tell me, it doesn't mean weapons aren't going to be formed against you. And I would always think about that. I would be like, well, you know what? You know, even on a theological, philosophical kind of level, why are these weapons even being formed anyway? What is the purpose? And I'm in this place mentally of, okay, well, you know, I'm transforming the way I'm looking at problems in my life, right? And these weapons are being formed against me. What is the entire purpose of this? Why is this still happening? So I start to look deeper. I start to go deeper into why are these things, even sometimes bad things happening to good people and so on, if you really want to take it to that place. And, you know, I started to realize a lot of us miss what God is accomplishing through our pain because we stop at the gates of suffering and adversity. And we stop and we don't go further because we don't have a firm understanding of the heritage of what a servant of the Lord is. We don't understand that the adversity is a measuring stick of our heart. We don't understand that adversity is a tool that is used to shape, to sculpt, and to build us. And our understanding and our very logic becomes so limited sometimes, and because we limit who God is. Either because we have a limited understanding of God, or because we don't understand that we can go deeper in the midst of a situation and extract something from our place where we're at, our hurt, our pain. We can go deeper than that moment, and we can transform it. And I'm going to get into a little bit later how we're going to come back to the cross with this in point three. But for me, I see that. In my life and so many people in my life that I've had the opportunity to pour into, I do notice that there's times where there, oh, you know, I gotta call somebody. There's this situation A in my life, right? There's situation A in this person's life and it is tough. And then our lives are filled with situation A, where it is just too big for us, and we need to turn to somebody. We need to stop everything we're doing. We need to go turn to somebody. We need to talk to somebody. I need to talk about this situation. It troubles us. This could be a family member. This could be money situation. This could be a work scenario. This could be even a personal growth. So this could be you just fearing losing control in the midst of a situation in your life. This could be a Goliath in your life. This could be you need a car. This could be, you know, you lost your license. This could be any situation in your life that causes you to feel like control is slipping from your hand. Right? This could be any situation of hurt. This could be any situation of pain, struggle, need, want, desire. This could be anything. And what happens is situation A happens, and we immediately lose all any kind of stability, any kind of strength, anything from the normal status, right? And what happens is we have two options in this scenario. We either go on deeper to allow these situations to strengthen us and the world around us, the loved ones around us, and the people who rely on us, and the people who God speaks to, loves, and shapes around us, or we let this situation, this pain, this hurt, this attack, we let it prevent us. And a lot of times these situations can be defining in life. And a lot of time these situations, somebody can go through one rough patch and for the rest of their life live in reflection to that moment. And some people can go through some hurt and some pain, and for the entirety of the rest of their life, they were defined by that one pain and that one moment. And as a child, I saw that. I saw people who went through such traumatic events that it changed the rest of their life, and they never truly recovered from it. And this happens in anything. This happened to a company. This can happen to a marriage. This can happen to a relationship, a friendship even. I think a lot of people experience that one friendship that experiences one thing, and you never really quite going back to being as close with that person as you were. And some companies even experience like a really bad quarter, and they never really quite recover from it. And some marriages experience some situations and scenarios that don't really ever come back from it. And on the opposite end, you see that there are some times where sometimes something bad can happen and it can draw you closer to somebody. Sometimes a hurt or a pain can occur, and the forgiveness that's necessary to continue growing in that relationship, the hurdle that's necessary to jump over to continue racing with that person, all along was a necessary component to strengthen that relationship or that team. And it's up to us where we go from there sometimes. Because here's the thing I will guarantee you, no matter how rich you are, no matter how tall you are, short you are, successful you are, or how much you've failed in your life, or how much you've done, how many degrees you have, or how many jobs or positions of influence and power of authority you've had in your life, you will experience this adversity in some way. And I promise you that. I promise and guarantee you, some of us have experienced this adversity yesterday. Some of us have experienced this adversity already this year. Some of us have experienced this pain and this adversity and this loss in this last five-year window. You know, when I was looking back on my every five-year update, there, when I warned myself 5 years ago, that was, if I would have read that 5 years ago, probably would have terrified me. And in there, I'm telling myself, you know, you're going to experience loss like you haven't seen. You're going to experience moments of hurt and pain like you've never felt before in the first 20 something years. I'm telling my younger self all these things, but I'm also telling my younger self, but you're going to experience God's love and God's growth through you and God's wisdom and knowledge pouring out into you like you've also never experienced before. Because I'm taking the situation and I'm stretching it. I'm stretching it so much that it covers this growth, that it covers this ability to look at these situations and say, you're going to go through this, you're going to go through this pain, you're going to go through this, you're going to go through situation A all the time, but you're also going to experience God working in a way that you've never seen before. And that's what leads me to my second point, being that we oftentimes don't ever get past this place of, you know, okay, you know, there's these weapons formed against me, there's this hurt, there's this pain, there's this situation, I can't get through it. Why does my life always end up like this? Why is it me? Why does this always happen to me? When we stop that place, we stop the poor old me place, when we stop looking at, but you don't get it. No one else has gone through what I've gone through. No one else has felt what I've felt. When you move yourself out of that place, it's when you move out of a me first place. It's so crucial. It's so important for us to remove ourselves from the me first place. And in Philippians chapter 2, verse 4, you're hearing, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of the others. And this is a rock that hits the Bible and ripples out through various chapters, various places in the Bible where you're going to see an encouragement of don't focus on yourself. Don't stay in your own headspace when you're experiencing this trauma and this hurt and this pain and these scenarios. It's very crucial for you to move out of that place. Move out of that place. I think I might be the first person that's ever had background music on a decoration. I kind of like it. It's kind of sets the mood. But the reason that we freeze up, that we stress out, that we get anxiety and all these things, you know, when faced with adversity is because it revolves around us. And even if it's a loved one that's going through something, we stress out because it's our vision and our understanding as it pertains to that person. It might be a control issue. It might be an issue that we're not giving this scenario for this person that we love up to God. And I'm acquainted with that well, because there's been times and points in my life where my personal life is going amazing. I might have a busy schedule. I might have a little bit of, you know, like, okay, well, I got to be on top of this. I got to be on top of that. But for the most part, my life itself would be relatively problem free. And it might just be that season. It might just be, you know, a season of rest, and I'm stepping back from certain things, but then I'm still stressed out about somebody else. I'm still stressed out about a loved one. I'm still losing sleep every time my phone goes off. I'm still walking and pacing around my kitchen because a family member is going through something that they need help with. That is still my ability to not let that person go through what God needs them to go through to take them where they need to be. So no matter whether it's happening to us or it's happening to somebody else, this is where we need to stop thinking about what our plan or vision, our understanding with situation A is. And we have to step back and understand that God has a plan and a purpose for situation A that we don't yet see. And like I said, you need to stretch this out. We step back in our perspective to understand that it's not just Moses. It's not just me. It's not just you. It's not just Susie or Beverly. It's not just us. This is not our situation. This is a situation that has been given to God. This is a situation where no weapon will prosper. This is a situation where the enemy has been defeated. We stand on the other side of the cross. We already know the outcome. So we have to trust that this situation is being allowed to happen for a purpose that it needs to be fulfilled, that is beyond our understanding, because God does not need you to understand it. God does not need you to know what his agenda, what his plan, what his goal is in this moment, because if you're not capable of understanding it in this moment, which there are going to be a lot of things in our life that we are not capable of understanding in that moment, because it is so big, it is so profound, it is so painful, it is so heartbreaking that we cannot fathom that God could possibly use a situation like this to create echoes throughout multiple lives that declare truly how loving and how great that he is. Moments of pain and heartbreak that are so dark and depressing when focused on themselves, that when you step back, you look and you see God changed a multitude of lives through that one moment of heartache, through that one moment of pain, through that one moment of just suppressing fear. God was able to accomplish so much. There was so much strength that was extracted out of that moment of pain. But it sometimes takes stepping back. And I look at this with like cooking. You know, I see this with cooking. You if you were to just eat just one tablespoon of pepper, it's going to be kind of disgusting. if you eat just one ingredient from, we recently got a crock pot. And I love this thing. Believe it or not, we never had one growing up. I maybe my mom could fact check me on that later. I don't know if we can get a fact check on that, but I don't believe we ever had a crock pot growing up. I genuinely, when we bought ours, I was thinking back, and I probably spent like a good 20 or 30 minutes just like reminiscing, going back through to the old days, old school, back in the old neighborhood on the north side. I'm like, we didn't have one. I don't think we ever had one. And we finally got a crock pot, and my wife and I were so excited. This had been like on our list for so long. It had been on our wish list. I mean, like this was something we were talking about. We were so excited. So the day the crock pot gets here, literally the day it got here, I'm taking out meat to defrost already. We're like sending each other ingredients. we're really pumped, you know. So I'm throwing in all these ingredients because it's a lot of stuff, because it's a big crock pot, and we have a life group that we meet with. We lead a life group on every Friday night, so we're like, hey, we're just gonna make a lot, and we'll take it to our life group. And so we make this really good beef stew, and there's a ton of ingredients. It's like a lot of stuff. And it's cool because you just like throw it all in one bucket, throw the lid on, and you're good. Anybody who has a crock pot knows that. This is all still new for me. And so I'm looking at these ingredients on their own, and some of them were just kind of like unappetizing. But I knew that within the context of the dish that they had a role to play. I knew that within the context of that beef stew, that these individual ingredients that were not, I would never eat in a million years on my own, they had such a profound place to play in this meal. And this meal would never be the same had it not included and incorporated some of these ingredients that were really just kind of disgusting. Like, I hate some flavors on their own. I love how they bring out other flavors. I love how coriander and nutmeg and things like that can bring out more profound flavors like garlic. And it's just so beautiful to me how we can, we've just come to a place of different forms of cooking and letting it sit and it'll bring this out and texture, how it works with that. And I see the beauty in our lives. I see that concept reflected because there's moments of my life that when you look at them on paper on their own, are so sad and broke me as a man. Moments where I was so broken on the ground, crying, begging God to be there, calling out to God, asking God, if you love me the way you tell me you do and I'm on top of the world, then where are you right now when I'm the bottom of it? Where are you right now when I'm in this place so low, God? Where are you right now in these moments that I hate as a standalone? Have put so much of the great things in my life into perspective, have brought such a profound definition to my strengths, to my courage, to my faith, to my ability to move on in any scenario. They've been defined, they've been strengthened, they've been fueled by the moments that I've been weakest. Okay, you don't get just the good without the bad. You need every bit of it to build you up, to shape and paint who God has always seen you as for millions and millions of years. And you need to understand that today. If you're the person that called in today and you genuinely have nothing left to give, I'm not talking about you're just tired because it's Thursday and you had a long week. I'm talking you had a long life and you had nothing. You have nothing to give anymore. And you called in today because you don't know why, because maybe a friend gave you the number a couple months ago. Then you need to know that this is for you. And if you called in today knowing that you're on top of the world right now, then you need to know that this is for you because the seasons create the year. The years create the life. The life creates the worship to God. And you have to understand where everything plays its part. You have to understand the man, the woman of God that you're being built to be. You have to understand that sometimes we're not built into a man or woman of God. We are broken into a man or woman of God. And you have to remember that in those moments, because no one else will remember that for you in that moment. You need to believe in yourself when no one else can, because sometimes there's not going to be somebody to be there to believe in you. Sometimes, you know what? No one's going to answer your phone call. Sometimes you're going to pray and you're not going to hear anything. Okay? They don't teach you that in your intro to Christianity class. They don't teach you what to do when you don't hear God. They don't teach you what to do when you're screaming out Bible verses on top of your bed, and then the next day that problem's still staring you down, smiling at you, smirking at you. They don't teach you what to do when you say, in Jesus' name I cast you out, and you get something that responds back to you. They don't tell you what to do in those moments. But a relationship with God, where God's centered, will tell you what to do in those moments. A relationship where you understand that sometimes it's not always about you will dictate the direction to go in those moments. Because sometimes God is quiet because he doesn't want to speak to us as the center of the issue. Sometimes God is quiet because he needs us to sit in these moments and understand that there's something bigger going on and you need to walk through it. You need to get whipped. You need to walk through the city getting spit on. You need to carry the cross and fall underneath it. You need to get up there and you need to hang on it for a little while. You need to stand up there and you need to look up and you need to say, Father, why have you forsaken me? Because there's a glory that's before you that this prepares. There's a hunger that needs to be developed. So when you consume, it's transformed into the energy that it needs to be. Okay. And this is one of those moments just where we have the opportunity in the face of any adversity in our life where we say, why is this happening to me? Why is this happening to my loved ones? Why is this happening in my life? It's happening because God feels, God knows that this is going to be something that's going to strengthen you. This isn't going to be one of those moments that you never come back from. And you and I do now, I never used to do this. And when, and years back when I understood this concept and I first started to transform these situations, I started to worship. And because I noticed that I would, I would get into these modes, right? And this is how, as Christians, you know, we can still have panic attacks. This is how, as a Christian, you can still suffer from anxiety. Our perspective is based around our hurt and pain as it pertains to a situation. It's not about God's ability to shift a situation anymore. And you see this in the Bible. Elijah called down fire from heaven in front of 900. I think it was like, I probably got the number wrong, but I think it was like around 950 or 900, right? Opposing priests and leaders and prophets of Baal. And then he immediately fled out of fear and asked God to kill him. You just called down fire. Elijah, you just called down fire. And then you ran in fear under a mentality of fear and then asked God to kill you. That's how a Christian can still go through this mentality even after doing something amazing. So your anointing isn't going to prevent you from experiencing this. Your degrees and your seminary and the degrees in theology isn't, and your knowledge of the Bible isn't going to prevent you from having to walk through this fire because you're being baptized in it. And this is how we still go through these, but this is how I started to shift this. I started to thank God for trying and tough situations that I was going through, because otherwise we encounter self-fulfilling prophecy because we have low expectations of God in a situation. So we prophesy in the opposite direction with our stress, anxiety, and fear. And I know plenty of people in here have prophesied life. I know that you might have spoken life, but did you know that anxiety, stress, and fear, you're prophesying in the opposite direction? You'll create that situation that you're so scared of because you're allowing it to resonate within your mental space. You're just thinking and thinking and thinking and letting it happen. And, you know, how many situations have you allowed fear, pain, anxiety to prophesy out a situation in your life because you have the full power that raised Jesus Christ within you? It doesn't say that you just have a good power inside. You just have power to do good. It says you have power. That power is all-encompassing. You can direct it in any direction that you want. So if you want to stress out about something, you're going to put all that power that rose Jesus from the grave into stressing out about a situation. You're going to put that whole power into fear. You're going to put that whole power into something that is not life-giving. And that's why the mentality needs to shift in that. And it's crucial for you to understand, to break this me first, this point two, is very crucial to understand that everything that happens is not because of you. Everything that you go through is not for you. It has nothing to do with you. Jesus went through the cross for us. He endured the cross in those 3 days for us. For us. And you have to remove yourself from this situation. You are too far in it. You need to step back from the painting for everything to come into a clear resolution. And how do we do this? And that's what I'm going to close with today. The way we step back in this, the way you bring the purpose of this pain into clear resolution is you have to understand Psalm 30, verse 5, second half of verse 5. Weeping may stay the night, but joy comes in the morning. It's an insult to the cross to stop at your suffering because there's a resurrection waiting for you after every crucifixion. There's a rebirth after every death. Keep going deeper. Keep walking. Keep moving. Keep going. And you need to get yourself up out of it. You need to pick yourself up because if you stay there, like I said, you can stay in a dark place powerfully if you want to. The anointings, the giftings, they don't have anything to do with your. You can prophesy over everybody in the church, line them up one by one. One time I prophesied over teams. They brought me in to prophesy over team members, individually, personal, prophetic word, words of knowledge about their life, never knowing any of these team members one by one by one for over hours. And I still went home depressed that day. I still went home back to my problems, sad and broken that day. I still stressed out and had anxiety and fear that day. Those things do not, they're mutually exclusive sometimes. Okay, so it's important, our mentality in these situations is to step back and step out and focus on the joy that's coming in the morning. Because, you know, I think of Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. You see, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. You know, the focus on the outcome of our hurt and pain changes our mindset and our perspective as we go through it, because we see the purpose and the value of our suffering when we're able to step into that. And we step into that mindset of joy, and that mindset changes the world around us, because that power that's within us that raised Jesus from the grave, put him at the throne, the right hand of the throne of God, that mindset, it transforms the world around us. This mentality demonstrates the power of God's love to those who remember when they're going through something that God is in this, that God is using this, and it doesn't matter what it is. This is good or bad, but we're focusing on the tough stuff today, and I want to leave you with that as I close today. I want you to hold on to that, and I want you to know that your unique situation, no one might know it, and you might not get a prophetic word for that today. And you might not get the encouragement that you're looking for in that today, but you need to know that God knows it. And I would much rather have God know about it than me know about it, or Susie or Beverly or Dion or Dee Dee or anybody else. You know, I would rather you have God knowing about that situation and wake up knowing that God is at work in it than your best friend, than your social group at church, than the team that you talk with at coffee breaks at work. It's so much more powerful that God knows about it. But when you step into the joy that's accompanied by that, you have the faith, you have the power, you have the resolution and the resolve within to walk through this situation, not as somebody who has been conquered, but as a victor. And you have to know your identity as you walk through these situations and these scenarios, and you have to stand up to it, and you have to believe in yourself. Thank you guys so much for listening today. It is such an honor to speak in front of you, to share these experiences. If you have any questions, if you want to share a time where this resonates with you, I encourage you to stick around for the Love, Life, and Victory portion. We're starting a little bit later, around 7, but for right now, we're going to get into some prayer and get into some corporate praise and worship, and we're going to honor the name of the Lord together today as I now pass the call.
Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, we humble ourselves this morning. Forgive us for our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Fill us with the knowledge of your will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that we may live and conduct ourselves in a manner worthy of you. We come to you proclaiming that you are all powerful and all loving. You are a tower of strength. You are ever present help in the time of trouble. Thank you for allowing us to go deeper in you, allowing us to stand on your word without any ifs, ands, or buts. Only confidence and strength that only you can give us. God, we thank you for the gift of life and the opportunity to serve the people of your nation. Help us to act with character and conviction. Help us to listen and with understanding and goodwill. Help us to speak with assistance and restriction. Give us a spirit of service, God. Remind us that we are stewards of your authority. Guide us to be leaders, Father God, of your people, and that your people need. Help us to see the humanity and the dignity of those who disagree with us, and treat us to treat all people, no matter how weak or poor, with the respect of your that your foundation deserves. Father, renew us with the strength of your presence and the joy of helping to build a community worthy of the people. Heavenly Father, I call upon you right now in a special way. It is through your power that we were created. Every breath we take, every morning we get up, and every moment of every hour we live under your power. I say thank you for that. Lord, I pray today for our children. Keep them safe each and every day. give your angels special charge over our children to go with, defend, and keep them. Give them favor and high esteem in your sight, Lord. Protect them from the bullies. Protect them from bad influences. Protect them from anyone who wants to violate them. Protect them from all hurt, harm, and danger, Father God. Keep their minds fresh so that they may be able to have clear understanding. And when the challenges come, Father God, give them strength not to give up. Thank you, Lord, for that. When you reached out your arms of blessing, you said, let the little children come unto me. I thank you, God. Lord, comfort those that are sick. Heal their bodies. Miracles, signs, and wonders. Let the people see who you are when the doctor said there is no hope. Show them that, God, that you are there. When the doctor says they only have a few days, show them, Lord, that you will extend their time. Thank you, God. Father God, I just thank you. Bless our married couples. Thank you for their lives, Father God, for their unity, their multiple blessings that they have in their marriages. Thank you for the life partner who I see as a gracious gift from you. Thank you, Lord, for bringing them together in love. I also ask, Lord Jesus, that you look in grace and mercy on all the single men and women. I pray that during the time of waiting that you would guard our hearts and minds with assurance that you know the intimate desires and the needs of our hearts, that and that in your time and in your way, you will bring into our lives a person that you have been preparing for us. Father God, I just thank you for that. Lord, give us boldness in prayer. Lord, give us boldness in relationship. And I thank you, God. Thank you that. Thank you for no weapon formed against us. Thank you for realizing we can go deeper in you, realizing the strength, the options you graced us with. Thank you for creating those echoes. Thank you, Moses, for bringing about a word that was so amazing that brought clarity and understanding. I thank you. I thank you for that. May we be bold in sharing the gospel in our daily encounters. May we be bold in sharing you with family and friends. God, we thank you. Lord, we pray that our love for you would be easily seen by those who know us. May we stir up courage to speak of our love for you. May our dedication to you grow strong and steady, and may our light burn brightly for you. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for your goodness and your mercy. We thank you for your grace. We thank you because you have brought us together. We thank you because we are sure that we sit in the seat of counsel today. Thank you for realizing we can remove ourselves from getting unstuck. Hallelujah. Lord, Father, God, we bless your holy name and give you praise, honor, and glory. We ask for your continued grace upon us, which you have ordained for your own purpose. We ask that you cause us to fulfill it as we hear from you. We believe that you have designed us in this nation to be a light, a refuge, and champions of freedom and justice for all. We are where our people are out of position with your purposes, ways, and plans. I ask that you intervene and bring about direction, order our steps. We call on your name, asking you to come adjust what is out of order. We call on your ways to be restored to us, open to us, and displayed through us as a people. As you move in our midst and push out of us those called to release your purposes to the nation of the earth. Let eternal light shine from this place. Let the good news of the gospel and salvation of every kind flow from us into the world. Have your way, God. We pray these things in the mighty name of Jesus. As we take our phones off mute, we corporately pray to honor you, God Almighty. We thank you, Father God, for protecting us from every disease, every